I hope you are enjoying the Lord's grace. It's not uncommon for me to begin a letter, if I'm writing to another believer, to make a comment to that effect. I hope you are enjoying the Lord's grace in these days. Because it is God's will, you know, for you to be affected by the grace of God, to experience it. It's not simply a fact, but it's something that has the potential of being transforming to us. And today I want to talk about an aspect of the grace of God having to do with peace. So if you feel like you perhaps have lacked peace that the Lord would otherwise be having you enjoy, then you should be glad you came this morning. But I'd like to invite us to, no, let's just have you stay seated, that's fine. I'm encouraging people to try to commit this passage to memory. And as I mentioned last week, I originally memorized this passage in another translation, so it's really difficult for me. I'm going to try to not look at my own computer. And of course, I don't have eyes in the back of my head, so I can't see what is on the screen. So if you would like to practice, then perhaps look away, look at your friend or your spouse or at the floor or your shoes or something. And let's just see if we can say this, these two verses together from memory, okay? Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, eternal covenant, equip you in every good thing, everything that is good, to do his will. That was his pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Yeah, I butchered it pretty well, didn't I? Well, I'll keep working at it. That's all right. Don't get discouraged. Hang in there. As you know, the word equip is our theme word, our theme idea for the year, taken from this passage, but of course the word and the idea runs throughout the Bible, and in particular the New Testament. But if we would sort of strip it down to its bare grammatical roots, now again, I'm not suggesting that the other phrases in the passage are not important, as we're going to see this morning. Indeed, they are extremely important. But if we wanted to boil it all down and strip it down to its grammatical roots, it's simply this idea: may God equip you. God is the subject. If you remember, I don't know how many of you are old enough to have done sentence diagramming in English in grade school, but I went to grade school in the 60s, and they used to teach sentence diagramming. So God is the subject. Equip is the verb, and you is the direct object. And why would God equip us? Because he wants us to do his will, to have the opportunity to do his will. Last week, my talk was on this idea of doing the will of God, and I talked about how the fact that he has wired us in a way that doing his will satisfies us in a deep place that's so far beyond just the physical and even the psychological. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And now we have that same kind of deep down desire. And when we do the will of God, we experience a satisfaction that is really extraordinary. When we talk about equipping, okay, what in practical terms? And I'm just going to touch on a few things here by way of introduction, and we'll develop these things as the year moves along. But when we talk about God equipping us in practical terms, what is that exactly? What does that equipment consist of? Well, I wrote down a couple ideas. Number one is knowledge. We need knowledge. I hope you are spending time reading your Bible, taking in what is true. Knowledge is something that's very important. Experience is a tool. It's something with which God equips you. you go through a certain experience and maybe you feel like, well, that was difficult, or I experienced a kind of failure, and yet you can sort of put that in your toolbox. Now that you've gone through that experience, the next time you go through something similar, you'll be better prepared to perhaps handle things in a different way. Character is a tool that God can build into a person so that they have the ability to handle certain situations. Relational skills. We've been very blessed to have Equipping Ministries International here for once a month for the last 2 months. We have one more class. We had a great one yesterday. And I feel like I am being equipped to better handle challenging situations when it comes to interacting with people. So relational skills. Spiritual gifts is probably the obvious one. Probably most Christians, when they hear about the idea of being equipped by God, they think about spiritual gifts. There's sort of a sister passage about being equipped from Ephesians 4. We won't turn there, but it has to do specifically with spiritual gifts. But I want us to see that though that's included, God's equipping of you and me goes beyond spiritual gifts. It also includes wisdom. Of course, knowledge is the accumulation of information and facts. Wisdom involves perspective, insight, the ability to make sound judgment. Knowledge is acquired externally. You open your Bible and you read the words on the page and they come into your mind, they come into your heart, while wisdom is cultivated from within. Now, it comes from God, but it's cultivated from within through reflection and personal growth. So I just want us to see wisdom is not the same as knowledge. Relational moral support. I have been so encouraged over the years at times when I've been down or just having a tough time to have different friends come alongside me and just kind of, I don't know, slap me on the back or just kind of give me a little hug. I'm not a big hug person, but I enjoy a little physical touch and just having someone come alongside me and saying, hey, you're doing a great job. Hang in there. Keep going. I can remember when we were on the mission field. It was great knowing people were praying for us. It was great knowing people were financially supporting us. Those things are important. But it was really nice once in a while having someone send us an email. Hey, just thinking about you guys. Wow, that really felt good and was really helpful. Relational technical support. What do I mean by this? I had this experience just this last week. As I mentioned earlier, we're organizing for our part in the Pataskala Easter egg hunt. Come to find out that for our bouncy houses, there's no energy source at the park for us, so we have to bring our own generator. I don't have a generator. Bruce offered his generator. And then I thought, okay, great. I'm glad Bruce is offering generator. I don't know the first thing about generators. So I called Mike Spurlock. He's an electrical engineer. Say, hey, Mike, would you do me a favor? I don't know the first thing about generators. Would you go figure out if this is something that can work for? He said, I'll take care of it. Wow, it was so good having someone. Man, this is his sweet spot. He knows this stuff. I don't know anything about it. So, you kind of have to stay in your lane. God gave you certain abilities, but he also uses other people to come alongside you to give the things you need, even if they might be technical things. Material resources. So again, this list of the different aspects of equipment can be even longer than what I've made it this morning, but that's kind of a cursory look at it. God desires to equip me to do his will. We saw that last week. This is his desire. But sometimes there can be some anxieties connected with this idea of God, okay, he's going to give me something, some resource, some tool. Well, I might get anxious about what the will of God might be. I might wonder, can I do it? Can I do the will of God? Will I fail if I try? What is the will of God anyway? I'm not even sure I really know it. I feel inadequate. I feel willing now, but what about tomorrow? I'm excited now. It's Sunday. I just been to church. I'm pumped up about doing the will of God. What if I wake up Monday morning and feel like, I'm not so sure I want to do it after all. If I get equipped to do something, God or maybe others will then expect me to do it, right? So maybe I don't want to, get the equipment because then there will be an expectation that I'll use it. But if I'm not equipped, then I'm not responsible. So, hey, don't ask me. I don't know how to do it. We just kind of backpedal, you know. So there are certain anxieties that come with the prospect of doing the will of God. And this is what I want to address this morning. Again, going back to our original passage, now may God, we're stripping it down to its basic grammatical form, now may God equip you that you may do his will. What I want us to see this morning is that right out of the gate, the writer makes sure that we, the readers, understand who this God is who equips us. And if we miss this point, I think we're going to fall woefully short of receiving God's good gifts and using them. He uses the phrase, the God of peace. The God of peace. Again, there can be a lot of anxieties. Oh, I don't know, the will of God, this is, maybe it's beyond me. I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure I want the responsibility. All kind of questions, all kind of doubts. And we need to start from the place of understanding that God is the God of peace. His intention is not to heap more pressure on you, is not to cause you to be anxious. As a matter of fact, he said in his word, don't be anxious for anything. We're going to see later that it's possible for you to be in circumstances to where you have peace in every single circumstance. Do you believe that? I would venture to guess most Christians in their honest moment would say, actually, Jack, I like you, but no, I don't believe what you're saying. Every circumstance, do you know some of the circumstances I've been in? Come on. You expect that it's possible for me to have peace? So the title of this morning's message is Equipped by Whom? This is so important that we understand who it is who's doing the equipping. Equipped by whom? Subtitled, The Priority of Peace in the Provisioning Process. Of course, since I'm a pastor and I'm giving a sermon, all the P's have to line up. So, provisioning is just another word for equipping. But we use the word equipping a lot, so I just found another word. God prepares us. He gives us what we need. He provisions us. There's a priority for you and me in understanding that it is, in particular, it's the God of peace who is doing this for you and me. Equipped by whom? Who's equipping us? The God of peace. That's right. It is the God of peace. We need look no farther than Acts chapter 8, Simon the magician, to find an example of someone who attempted an equipping and circumvented and acted outside of the realm of the peace of God. Acts 8, verse 4, therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said to Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. Wow, exciting times. Supernatural things are happening. People are hearing the message. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice. And many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city. Now there was a man named Simon, who formerly was practicing magic in the city and and astonished all the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had, for a long time, astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." On one hand, I guess we could argue that he had a noble intention. He wanted to be able to be used of God. Perhaps he had an ulterior motive. Perhaps it was about his own notoriety or fame. We don't know. We can't necessarily get in his head. But verse 20, Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money." He tried to obtain something without trusting God, without walking in his peace and trusting God to give him the equipping that he would need in time. "You have no part or portion in this matter," Peter says, "for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you." So we want to avoid that. We want to avoid just looking at various gifts going, "Yeah, I want that. I want that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to accomplish that." I just want to encourage us to slow down and walk in God's peace. Trust him that he is going to give you all you need to do his will in his time, in his way. I have some notes for you that you might, hopefully you can take home and refer to later. You may wish to follow along here this morning. 9 points in particular I want to run through about this important aspect of peace. And by the way, I know you know what this is. It's a cement block. And the reason I brought this, as I was walking across the parking lot this morning with Joan, I took it out of the back of the car and I said, "This is going to be part of the message this morning." She said, "What are you preaching on? My yoke is easy and my burden is light?" Or what? No. This is, of course, a cement block. And when you're going to build something, it's really important to make sure that it has a good foundation. And I just want to have this cement block sitting here as I'm going through these various aspects of peace, because this is such a basic element for you and me if we're going to be properly equipped, if we're going to obtain and walk in the equipping that God has for us. We need to start out realizing that it is none other than the God of peace who equips us. So point number one, God is the God of peace. He's not a God of peace. Oh, you know, there are a lot of religions, and this religion, they get their peace through their God, and we get our peace through our God. No, it doesn't say that. He's not a God of peace. He's the God of peace. This advertisement popped up on my phone just this last week. So I blocked out. You can't see what financial institution is promoting this, but wow, doesn't that look like this person really has it together? She's just sitting there, I don't know what she's doing. Some kind of Eastern meditation, I suppose. And she looks so relaxed. She looks so at peace. And you just kind of look at that and go, well, you know, some people get their peace from some one place and we get ours from God. But we need to see that God is the God of peace, and all other peace, quote unquote, is nothing more than pseudo peace. Some of you are too young to realize this, but there was a time when seeing this image in public advertising would have been abhorrent, would have been shocking. Do you know it wasn't until the Beatles in 1967 went to visit Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, because they were interested in transcendental meditation, and they sat there with Yogi, I guess that's his name, and they had these garlands of flowers and everything was happy, and the Beatles brought this idea to an entire generation that through Eastern mysticism and meditation, you could find peace, and in the process led millions of people astray. I don't mind saying it because it's my opinion. I think the devil mightily used the Beatles in many, many ways. I hear Beatles songs like you do on the oldie stations, and I hum along to some of them, but I think, wow, we need to understand that the devil works through many different ways to deceive people, and he's in the process of deceiving people about how they might acquire peace. By the way, I just was curious, and so I did a search on my Microsoft Bing search engine, and I entered the question, is Eastern meditation demonic? What do you think it told me? Meditation is not demonic. It is a mindful practice with various cultural, religious, and secular origins, aiming to calm the mind, improve focus, and foster inner peace. That's what Microsoft Bing will tell you. But there are some significant dangers. I'm spending a little extra time on this one because it is something that is culturally relevant for you and me. And I don't want any of us to be led astray. There are at least four spiritual dangers in Eastern meditation. Number one, and I'm not going to take a long time to develop this. I got to get moving here. But it has non-Christian roots. It is mind emptying when God wants you to fill your mind with what is true. Eastern mysticism comes along and says, empty your mind. Number three, there's a potential for inviting demonic affliction. And number four, it is self-focus over God focus. Number two, Christ himself is our peace. Ephesians 2, verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He's speaking to Gentiles here. In Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, there were both Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And there was some tension between them. And he's speaking to the Gentile Christians. He says, you were formerly far away from God. You've been brought near. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. When you might say, well, Jack, Paul here is not talking about peace in your heart and mind. He's talking about peace between groups of people. That is true. But the point is, Christ himself not only brings peace, he is the peace between groups of people. He is peace in your own heart and mind. He himself is our peace. Number three, God's intention is that we, his people, walk in the way of peace. See, if you just come to New Song on Sunday and you hear the pastor talk about peace and you think, well, that's great. The Bible says something about God has peace for me, but you fail to actually walk in that peace and experience that peace, then you're missing out. And I want to appeal to Luke chapter 1. This is Zechariah, whom you may know. He was the father of John the Baptist, and he was smitten by an angel and was made so that he couldn't speak for a while. And then finally, when his tongue was loosed, he began to prophesy, and he said this in Luke 1, and you child, he's referring to his son, John the Baptist, you child will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you'll go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise, capital S, the sunrise from on high will visit us. What's the sunrise from on high? Better stated, who? Who is the sunrise from on high? It's Jesus Christ. And then in verse 79, he's now referring to Christ, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. God saved you for, among other things, so that you would walk in the way of peace. Are you experiencing that? Are you walking in that way today? That's what God wants for you. Number four, peace with God is something which, through Christ, we have. We have. I have to be honest. I wince a little bit when I hear people pray, oh, Lord, give me your peace. I kind of want to say, yeah, you know, he's already given it to you. You just need to realize that he's given it to you and decide to walk in it. Believe in him and believe that he's given it to you. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, well, Jack, I'm lacking peace. I'm not really walking in that peace. Okay, understand, that's something separate. Verse 2 says, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. So we have peace with God. We have obtained what Paul calls our introduction. You've been introduced now to a relationship with God in which you have peace with him. And now you have an opportunity to continue walking in that peace. Number five, God is the one who made it. The peace that you have with God was not something that you thought up. Maybe you realized you needed peace, but it was not something that you helped create. Usually in a peace treaty, you know, Putin and Zelensky are sitting down and they're back and forth, and they each, you know, maybe giving and taking, and they're trying to make peace. Your peace with God was completely a one-sided deal. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, that is in Christ, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So, he made peace, and this is a bonus point here in number five. And by the way, it was the Father's good pleasure to have done so. In case you're thinking, well, okay, I guess I have to have peace with this sinner now because he's believed in Jesus and I'm still kind of mad at him, but I guess I have to capitulate and go along with the contract here. No, that's not how it is. It was the Father's good pleasure. The Father is saying, I'm so glad. I'm so glad now that this person who was lost, who was not experiencing peace, now they have peace with me. I'm so glad that happened. Number six, Christ's peace is not as the world's peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. I'm giving you my peace, Jesus says, not as the world gives. The world does give a certain version of peace. I may regret saying this. I don't know if sometimes people, maybe they're careful about what they tell the pastors because it might end up in a sermon. But I was talking with I was talking with someone before the service, actually not meaning to embarrass Edna, but it was Edna. So her husband will tell her later what I, but she was remarking about, apparently this morning, that she said, I had this plan. We were going to have this idyllic experience and go to a coffee shop together. And it was anything but that. It just didn't work out. How often, be honest, how often have you organized a vacation or maybe gone on a cruise? I'm not against cruises. We've been on several cruises, very enjoyable. But you construct in your mind this idea, we're going to go here and we're going to do this, and I'm going to kick back and my toes are going to be in the sand, and I'm going to be on the beach, and it's just going to be this great. And something happens, I don't know, someone in your party gets sick, or you lose your luggage, or I don't know, any number of things happen, and you come home and you go, well, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind. That happens all the time, doesn't it? And it's not wrong to seek a certain kind of mental relaxation. We need that. Look, I'm not against vacations. But let's not trick ourselves into thinking the world can give us the kind of peace that Jesus gives us. His peace is not as the world's peace. Number four, it's important to understand that obedience brings about peace. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. See, you have a certain responsibility about what you do with your gray matter here, what you allow to continue. I think it was Martin Luther said, I can't stop a bird from flying over my head, but I can stop it from nesting in my hair. You can't help, a certain idea comes in your mind, but then it's up to you. Are you going to continue to dwell on that? Or are you going to go, no, I'm not going to allow this thought to remain. I'm going to choose instead to focus my thinking over here. And I commend to you Philippians 4:9 as a wonderful list of things, of alternative things for you to focus on in your mind as opposed to the things that cause you anxiety. Verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Folks, the Christian life is not complicated. There are precious few things that we see in the scriptures that we're to be doing. Paul says, the things you've heard, the things you've seen in my life, not that God expects us to go around the world planting churches and getting in shipwrecks. No. That was the particular thing Paul was doing, but the basic things that he was giving his life to, the things you've learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do these things and you're going to have peace. You'll have it. Number 8, understanding the importance of realizing you have and walking in God's peace is related to, I know this sounds like a mouthful, but this is what I came up with. It's related to the thoroughgoing holiness which God desires for your life. There is a thoroughness to the holiness that God wants to develop in you. In other words, in every aspect of your life, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Oh, as long as I'm holy in this one little aspect of my life, no, God wants it all. He's bought the whole package, spirit, soul, and body, all three elements. And may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is interested in every single aspect of your life. And he wants to develop holiness in you. Don't think, when I say holiness, don't think of the kind of the caricature idea of, you know, a person with a cartoon with a halo and a kind of wings and this kind of holier-than-thou looking cartoon character. No, holiness just means a set-apartness. You are special. You have value. God loves you and wants you to walk with him and serve him. And he wants you to be holy in every aspect of your life in a thoroughgoing way. And number nine, God's desire for you is peace in every circumstance. Now, I know that's hard to believe, but here it is. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. By the way, this idea of peace, this is not some way off, sidetrack, aberrant idea that I got. The New Testament is saturated with this concept of peace, of Christians understanding that God's the God of peace, walking in peace. There are 21 books of the New Testament that are letters. Do you know that 17 of the 21, the book is introduced with this idea of peace, and 10 of the 21 also have its kind of bookend. The book ends with this idea of peace, and 2 Thessalonians is one of those books. It says this, "Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance." You go, no, that can't be in the Bible, is it? Yeah, it is. It is. And I would encourage you to have it as a goal. Don't beat yourself up when it doesn't happen. Oh, I'm supposed to be experiencing peace, but I'm not experiencing it at the moment. This is a tough circumstance. Okay, let God grow you and chalk up your experience so that you're ready the next time a similar experience comes along, because I'm here to tell you, God's desire for you is that you never are without peace. It is his will for you and me, because the Lord of peace himself wants to grant you peace in every circumstance. So this is a building block here. It's a heavy thing. Try not to drop it on my toe. It's really an essential foundational element of you being equipped as God would have you be equipped. So please take this to heart, and we'll build on this in the weeks to come as we talk about being equipped. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for establishing peace with us when we were your enemies. We were far from you, and you're the one who made it. You're the one who established it. Help us, Lord, to walk in the peace that you give us, and to know how to have peace in the difficult circumstances of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prayer for the Nations here at 7. For the month of March, we are doing this praying for during Ramadan for Muslims around the world. I hope that you would join us tonight at 7 here. We have a number of announcements in the bulletin. Our food pantry continued to need your groceries. As you go to the grocery, just pick up a few extra items and bring them along. We'd appreciate that. Yesterday was our second of three equipping teachings with Equipping Ministries International. I think several people yesterday said that they felt equipped afterwards, and that continues. And I must say, my favorite one is the next one coming up in April. It really is good. Really helps us to get to the root issues in our hearts and experience a new level of freedom, perhaps, that we've longed for. So I hope that you can join us for that. Also, if you've participated in these classes or maybe you weren't able to make it, if you would be interested in maybe like a monthly gathering where we just get together and practice these things so that we can learn and grow for our own benefit and for benefiting others, let me know. we might be able to set something up where we get together once a month and just practice those techniques. Paul, you want to talk about the garden and the Easter outreach?
We have radishes. So yeah, we're doing a little bit of frost hardy planting right now. So we could use, as the weather gets warmer, we can use your help. I'm really up here to talk about the Easter egg hunt. I was thinking about Matthew 10:24 today. It says, even if you offer a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, you will not lose your reward. And personally, I am not a service gift, helps gift oriented person. This is not my gift. This is not what I really enjoy doing. I enjoy doing other things, but you know what? When I get to heaven and I look back and I just see, how God richly rewards me for things that just seem insignificant, I'm just going to be overwhelmed. Romans 8:18 says, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to become any sacrifice or service that you do. And right now, what we need is we need a few people to help tear down at the date on April 5th. And we need people, mostly we need people to pray. We have one person praying so far. We have everything else pretty much covered. We could use more bouncy house people. We've only got two people per hour in the bouncy house. Could always use more. But really what we need is people to pray and people to tear down. So if you could just come and see me afterwards, if you're available, to put in an extra hour, or if you haven't volunteered yet, please see me.
Paul, by praying, just to be clear, you mean someone to pray with other people, not just to pray yourself?
You will be standing on a mountain by yourself with hands up. Oh, I guess not. All right. Yeah, you'll be praying with other people. We usually go in hour shifts, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4. You'll be praying with a group of other people. Okay.
Thanks, Paul. One last announcement. If you're interested at all in going to the Museum of the Bible, maybe May or June, and there's some very special exhibits there for a limited time. We'd love to make a church trip if possible. So let me or Mary know what your availability is if you're interested. And we're trying to coordinate schedules and see when would be a good time to go to D.C. together. It'd be a lot of fun and really a blessing. And as always, we have prayer down front if anybody would like prayer today after the service. Seth, you want to close us in prayer?
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being the God of peace, that we can look to you. As Jack was going through the sermon, I was reminded of Peter walking on the water, and the storm was raging around him, and as long as he kept his focus on you, Jesus, he had peace. But when he took his eyes off and focused on the storm, he started to sink. So I pray that you'd help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to remember that foundational truth that you are the God of peace and that we have your peace, God. Help us to show that to others, too. I pray that you would reveal that to those in our lives, just to use as an opportunity to share where that peace comes from. I pray that you'd help us to represent you well in that way. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please stand for the benediction. Ashley had his last announcement, and I have my last announcement. So this is the last announcement. And that is just to remind you that we have a Good Friday service that will be 18th of April, of course, Friday, from 6 to 7. I'm in the process of organizing and putting together what I think will be a good service. I'm looking forward to it, so I hope you're planning to factor that into your schedule. The benediction today comes from the passage that was my last passage to share in my sermon, which is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 16. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. You're dismissed.